Jesus Christ, singer of the creation song, deliverer, savior, redeemer, living word, the light of the world. He is present with us now in this time set apart for him. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Welcome to worship with the St. Stephen's Faith Community. We're very grateful that you can join us. Today, being the first Sunday of the month, is a communion day. If you haven't already, please feel free to pause this recording and prepare the elements of bread and either wine or juice so that you can fully participate in the sacrament as Diane leads us later in the service. People of God, open your eyes. Look around. The presence of our Lord Jesus Christ is with us, among us, and within each of us. God's salvation is close at hand, nearer than you know. So open your hearts and minds to the Spirit, and let's worship God together.
Good morning, friends. Will you join me in saying together our prayer of confession? Most patient God, we confess that we do not live lives of true faith, believing that the good things that you have promised will come to pass. We lower our expectations and qualify our trust, relying upon ourselves and our own abilities, rather than upon your power and providence. Forgive us, we pray, and cultivate within us by your Holy Spirit the conviction that you are as good as your word, that you will be active in our lives in redemptive ways, and that you will be our constant companion and helper on life's journey. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Friends, hear the good news. What we do matters. But as the story of the Israelites being saved from Egypt shows us, ultimately, our salvation is God's doing, not ours. God hears our prayers and never forgets us. In Christ, we have been forgiven. And God's people say, Amen. Friends, this is a communion Sunday, and it is entirely appropriate that we share the peace of Christ with each other. As those of you who are part of our regular gatherings know, normally now we would do that face-to-face, person-to-person. We haven't gathered that way today, so let me take this moment to extend the peace of Christ to you all. May the peace of Christ be with you. And I invite you to take a moment to share the peace with anybody you may have gathered with as you watch this service today.
Today's scripture reading continues with another story in the life of the Israelites. It takes place just before they leave Egypt and set off for the Promised Land. The story is from Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 to 14. The Passover and the Festival of Unleavened Bread. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, "This month is to be for you the first month of the year of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people there are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the members of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the side and tops of the door frames of the houses, where they eat the lamb. That same night, they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire, along with bitter herbs, and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or boiled in water, but roast it over a fire, with the head, legs, and internal organs. Do not leave any of it till morning. If some is left till morning, you must burn it. This is how you are to eat it: with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. On the same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn of both people and animals, and I will bring judgment on the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. This is a day you are to commemorate for the generations to come. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance. The word of God. Thanks be to God.
Every month prior to Holy Communion, we remind ourselves and each other of the fundamental points of our faith by reciting a version of the Apostles' Creed. I invite you to say with me the new creed. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect in creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God.
Friends, this summer we have been remembering together the stories from some of the earliest generations of the people of Israel. People who had a special relationship with God, where God had promised to bless them and then to bless the world through them. Today's reading is our final installment of this summer section before we return to the stories of Jesus for the fall. This is actually a pivotal story in Israel's history. It was hugely defining for the people, and it is central in the practice of the Jewish faith today. It is also a foundational Old Testament text for us in the Christian church. It is also, I believe, a rather timely scripture for us to remember and reflect on together today. Right now, there are lots of people in the broader church who are considering these stories from the Exodus and thinking about Israel's time in the wilderness. Some actually think that we might be in a bit of a wilderness time ourselves right now, in the midst of this pandemic and all that it has brought. So they're wondering if There might be things from Israel's experience that might guide and help us today. Well, I confess to you that I am actually among these people, wondering about those very things. And so I am very interested in what we might be able to take from this passage today. Our reading comes to us right before the dramatic story of Israel's flight from Egypt under Moses' leadership, a flight that you will remember took them dramatically and miraculously safely through the Red Sea. These verses that we just heard Joe read really set up all that was about to happen. In them, we hear God instructing the people to get ready. He told them exactly what to do and when to do it. At twilight, on the 14th day of the month, they were to prepare a lamb for slaughter. He told them how to cook it, how to serve it, and even what to do with the leftovers. And then God told them to take the blood from those lambs and mark their doorways with it. He explained that those markings would keep their families safe from the plague that was about to come, the final plague God would launch, killing all of the Egyptian firstborn and their animals. Those strange blood markings would ensure that God passed over the Israelite homes and that their families were safe. God was about to deliver the Israelites from Egypt in a big way. That final plague would actually be the one that would finally convince Pharaoh to set the Israelites free. And from that year on, the Hebrew people would dedicate an entire festival, the celebration of Passover, to remembering that rescue, remembering how God had delivered them from captivity. Israel's is a God who saves. Remembering that is very important in the Jewish faith and also in our Christian faith. A number of years ago, I got to go to Vancouver to listen to a theologian from Yale Divinity School speak at Regent College. It all happened before I'd even started theological school, so I have to confess that 95% of the time, I was in completely over my head. I did not understand what he was saying. But somehow, maybe miraculously, I do remember the gist of his presentation. He was arguing that there are four things that are critical for each of us to have as parts of our belief system if our faith is going to function properly and not malfunction. One of those four key things is the understanding that in his very nature, God is a deliverer. It's absolutely essential that we remember, as the Israelites were instructed to in that celebration of Passover, that it is our God's nature to save us. It's what God does. If we forget that, if we lose our grip on that belief, that vital strand, then unfortunately, our faith is at a significant risk of unraveling. It's important that we hold to this. Well, honestly, in the history of God's people, we have wavered in our ability to remember this truth. In the times when life is good and things are easy, we can tend to forget, simply because we don't have an immediate sense of needing to be saved from anything. But that changes very quickly when things get tough. You look at the history of God's people, when wars break out, or poverty spreads, or a natural disaster brings sudden devastation, and when a pandemic makes its way around the world. When those things happen, things like what we're in the midst of right now, we instinctively reach back for that basic element of our faith. We realize once again that we need saving, And as we look to the stories of Scripture, we see the evidence that we have a God who does this, a God who has done this. Most notably, when he came to live on the earth in the person and work of Jesus. As that theologian explained, when our faith is working well, we remember that ours is a God who has saved us and who continues to save us, both in the long term and even at times here now in the midst of what life brings. Well, as the Israelites soon discovered, remembering this is really important, because remembering that God saves is actually what stirs hope in us. Hope for a brighter future. Hope that God's promises to us will be realized. Hope that the beautiful life that we long for ourselves and for our world, is not just pie in the sky fantasy. But friends, hope doesn't just happen magically. It comes as we intentionally turn and remember what God has done, how God has already saved us. That's what makes hope take root, so that it can grow deep and strong within us. And we know that hope is one of the very things we need to be able to sustain us, especially when the days seem particularly dark. Friends, as Jesus' people, we are, by our very nature, people of hope, because we know that we have a God who has and is saving us. Well, I mentioned at the beginning of this sermon that some people are seeing connections between this strange time we find ourselves in now and the stories of Exodus. The Israelites had been suddenly thrust from life as they'd known it in Egypt into an unknown, strange wilderness. They were forced to rely on God for their very survival, for the food to eat each day. Well, if we peek ahead in this story a bit, after the initial drama of that flight through the Red Sea, we can see that reality really starts to set in. The Israelites' life in the wilderness was full of challenges. They were incredibly vulnerable and entirely reliant on God for their survival. And sustaining their connection and trust in God during that time, it wasn't always easy. Frankly, there were times when it wavered considerably. I suspect we know that feeling, don't we? We have been thrust from our buildings, and our life together has changed so dramatically because we aren't able to gather freely in the way that we love to do. Honestly, in the first few months of the pandemic, we were just scrambling, trying to find a way to carry on, to survive this until it passed. But now, as we embark on the fall, we know that we are facing at least months more of this. And so I think we would be wise to start thinking and talking together about how we can sustain ourselves as we wait for that vaccine. How will we stay connected to each other? And even more vitally, how can each of us stay connected to God, the one who has saved us and continues to promise to deliver us? We need to find creative ways to do this. We need to encourage each other, and we need to watch out for each other over these months as we make our way through this wilderness time that we've been thrown into. We need to find ways to hold on to our hope, and not just any hope. Not just vague hope, a very specific kind of hope. The kind of hope that God actually called the Israelites to in our reading today. Remember, we heard about it in verse 11. It's actually what jumped out at me as I was sitting with this text. God instructs them to slaughter the lambs and gives them those really specific directions on how to prepare and serve it. And then he says this to them. This is how you are to eat it. With your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. God was about to save them from slavery, and they were not to just sit passively and wait. No, they were to be ready, expecting God was going to move any time. Well, it seems to me, it might be a good idea for us to take a page from their books. God has and is saving us, whether we can see that clearly right now or not. Remember, it's who God is, and it's what God does. So with that in mind, it seems to make sense that we should try to live with a hope like that, a hope that is expectant and ready, a hope that is actively watching for how our God, our deliverer, is going to move to save us. Amen.
Good morning. Let us pray. Loving God, how wonderful it is to know that we can deeply surrender to your abiding love for each of us. Help each of us to know fully that we can trust your movement in each of our lives, that your peace and reassurance of comfort in all situations is there with us. Thank you deeply for that. We praise you. We worship you for all that you are known for and unknown. We pray for the parents and the children that are returning to school in one form or another. We ask that you soothe their fears and anxiety going forward. Help school boards and teachers to trust new protocols in the face of the unknown, and simply to do the best they can in this very difficult time. We ask that all staff and parents be filled with your abiding peace. We pray that all people across the world see beyond the color of people's skin, the differences in religion, the differences in physique, to the reality that we are all God's children, and that we are called to love and respect the goodness of each person. We pray for those who are ill in our congregation, that they be quickly healed, and that they and their family members be given your peace, whatever the circumstance. We pray that all governments open the hearts to share the goodness that is yours, and that they be filled with the wisdom for the best in their people rather than personal glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Friends, welcome to Jesus' table. Join me in our communion liturgy. The Lord be with you and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is indeed right that we should praise you, gracious God, for you created all things. You formed us in your own image. Male and female, you created us. When we turned away from you in sin, you did not cease to care for us, but opened a path of salvation for all people. You made a covenant with Israel, and through your servants, Abraham and Sarah, gave the promise of a blessing to all nations. Through Moses, you led your people from bondage into freedom. Through the prophets, you renewed your promise of salvation. Therefore, with them and with all your saints who have served you in every age, we give you thanks and raise our voices to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy God, source of life and goodness, all creation rightly gives you praise. In the fullness of time, you sent your child, Jesus Christ, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you. He healed the sick and ate and drank with outcasts and sinners. He opened the eyes of the blind and proclaimed the good news of your kingdom to the poor and to those in need. In all things, he fulfilled your gracious will. On the night he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread and, after giving thanks to you, broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine and, after giving thanks, gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Gracious God, by the death of your child, you have destroyed the power of death, and by raising him to life, you have given us life forevermore. Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Recalling his death, proclaiming his resurrection, and looking for his coming again in glory, we offer you, O God, this bread and this cup. Send your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts, that all who eat and drink at this table may be one body, one holy people, a living sacrifice in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through Christ, with Christ, and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory is yours, God most holy, now and forever. Amen. Friends, would you join me in saying together the prayer Jesus has taught us? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Friends, this is the body of Christ, and it was broken for you. And this is the blood of Christ, and it was poured out for you. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I invite you now to consume in your own places of worship today. Please join me in saying together our prayer after communion. Life-giving God, we give you thanks for the gift of our Savior's presence in the simplicity and splendor of this holy meal. Unite us with all who are fed by the life of Christ, that we may faithfully proclaim the good news of your love, and that your church may be a rainbow of hope in an uncertain world. Through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Amen.
Thank you for your continued faithful giving that allows God's mission and ministry to continue at St. Stephen's. Please pray the following prayer over the gifts with me. We bring these gifts to you, O God, as a pledge of our commitment to your kingdom-building mission. Bless them and us as we strive to be messengers of your redeeming love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, we are back and back to some announcements. I have really just one for today. As we get started next week after Labor Day, I want you to know that the board and the ministry teams are going to begin to gather once again so that we can make some plans for ministry in the fall. We're not sure right now what that's going to look like, but we are going to get together and start brainstorming and share wisdom and ideas and do some of that creative thinking that I was trying to encourage us all to do in the sermon. So we ask that you would keep us all in your prayers as we do this work together, that we would be guided by God as we discern what our life together here as part of the St. Stephen's Church family is going to look like for the next few months. And friends, as in our blessing, I say, go out from here as workers in God's upside down kingdom, where the last are first and the first are last, where needs are met in miraculous ways, and where there is grace enough for all. And may the blessing of God, the love of Jesus, and the presence of the Holy Spirit be with each of you today and remain with you always. Amen. Thank you.